Have you ever wondered what it's like to bite into Nerds gummy clusters? They're fruity. They're tangy. They're gummy. And they're crunchy. Nerds gummy clusters, a union of fruity sweet gummy and tangy crunchy nerds. Unleash your senses. Shop now at nerdscandy.com.
What's up and welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, January 27th, 2023. That would have been the saddest smoke machine blast that we've had yet. Because not only did only one of them go off, not two, but the one went off and kind of stuttered a little bit.
Yeah, like he was waiting for his friend to go as well. And he was like, what? Am I doing it?
All right. But of course, it's Friday and that can mean only one thing. Friday energy, Friday everybody, energy. And we are about to bring it. It's going to be a really, really, really good show today. I'm having a hard day with my mouth. Bless. All right.
Listen, I know what that's like.
Right? I was telling you about the song "Sunday Candy," and I said Sunday Candy.
Hey man, you know sometimes you have one of those. I mean, you have the. Have you drank your coffee yet? Because I see this. I always want to call it tall, but it's not tall. It's grande.
Trenta.
You have your Trenta coffee in front of you, and mm-hmm. it doesn't look drank yet.
What if I told you I already drank half of it, and then I filled the rest with water?
Oh Jesus! God.
Jesus, monster.
I'm a liquid boy.
I've been doing this this quote unquote new thing. I've been drinking tea more lately.
Yeah. I've been doing this since you fucking started.
I know,
here.
But I keep going back and forth between the tea and the coffee. So mm-hmm. like, I was in my coffee era for quite a bit. Mm-hmm. This week, I decided to step back into my tea era, and let me tell you, it hit perfectly yesterday. Where I felt like I had a good energy on the show. Like I didn't have like the coffee shakes. I didn't have to deal with all the brain fog, all that stuff. Today, I'm in that same place, but I feel like I'm a little bit too mellow. I'm a little bit too chill, and I'm worried. I'm worried that I'm not going to get the energy that I need today, Tim.
Yeah.
So I need you to, like,
bring
Friday energy and then infect me with it so that I can have the Friday energy.
You're naturally going to find it, definitely. Maybe not during this show, but definitely after this. Bless.
Why? What are we doing, Barrett?
We're going to play some
show motherfucking... Can you show them?
Oh,
show them
sure,
what we're doing?
Sure. Hold on.
We're about to have some fun like we haven't had in 20 plus years, everybody. We're playing some GoldenEye.
Let's go.
Can you bring it up one more time, Barrett? Because I need everyone to see what I showed you. Have you ever noticed he has a really long mouth?
Yeah, I remember that old meme.
Wait. Oh, my God. I did not notice that. Jesus Christ. What the fuck was going on there? Was that his hand? Was it like
that's
a weird
his hand, and it's just weirdly angled where it looks like
that's
it's his
so
mouth
funny.
That's really long.
That's the official
really old Facebook meme.
It's a really long
so
mouth,
funny.
Everybody. You know what? Speaking of long mouths, we have some games to talk about.
Okay, I was like, where is he going with this
one? I really don't know, but this is kind of funny. It's Friday. Each and every weekday, we get together to talk about all the video game news that you need to know. Today's stories include, would you believe it, another Last of Us story.
Whoa.
The Last of Us Part 2 officially returning for a second season. There's some leaks about the next Far Cry games and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday, 10 a.m. live on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch live there. You can watch later on YouTube, or you can listen on podcast services. Just search for Kind of Funny Games Daily. We'll be right there for you on your favorite podcast service of choice. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. And remember, if you are on the Epic Creator Store. I don't even know what's going on anymore. Guys.
You should just roll with the stow and make that your new thing. Yeah. Hey, this is how I talk now. Yeah, I'm Tim Geddes.
God.
What you coming at me, fo?
Use the promo code Kinda Funny, and it doesn't cost you anything extra, but it helps us out a lot. Foxy Steve in the chat says Friday, more like Fry. Yay. That's exactly the energy that I'm trying to bring in today.
Hey. I also want to judge people in chat because some people are like, the Xbox version has multiplayer. Oh, doesn't only the Switch version have multiplayer? Motherfuckers, let me tell you about split screen. All right. GoldenEye is a game. It's a game known for split screen. We're going to play split screen multiplayer. That's what we're doing today.
It's all on one console. That's the
exactly.
Fun of doing
it on
the couch together.
I'm going to be screen peeking like a motherfucker. All right.
Get
ready, Tim. You can't hide from me.
I can't hide from you. I'm going to try.
You know, I almost let out a tweet yesterday, but it's that thing where now I'll type out a tweet, think about the replies that I'll get to that tweet, and then I delete the tweet.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, you know what? I don't need the smoke off of this.
No, you don't.
No,
you
I get enough
don't.
Of that when I'm on this show.
What were you going to say, though?
So let me see if I can still find it in my drafts. Actually, it'll be my phone. Because honestly, it's a tweet that I think a lot of people would have found entertaining or funny. But it's that thing where I'm sure the trolls will misconstrue it and mistake it and then turn it into like, oh, he's trying to be different because he's trying to be quirky or whatever. And I'm mm-hmm. like, no, this is just me being
real.
Well,
you're a quirky guy.
I am a quirky guy. But it's not like I'm trying to be quirky. It just comes naturally to me. Oh, did I not save the draft? Oh, here it is. Okay. So the tweet I was going to tweet yesterday was, y'all played GoldenEye. I played The World Is Not Enough. Y'all played Banjo. I played DK64. Y'all played Perfect Dark. I played Jet Force Gemini. We are not the same. And like,
I'm going to let you know right now, Bless, that's a bad tweet. There's not even any like, yeah. there's George Lucas said it best, man. There's poetry. It needs to rhyme. Man. There's no poetry there. I need the poetry, Bless.
Because the idea of it is the fact that like, I'm seeing all this GoldenEye hype mm-hmm. on my timeline. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, good for y'all. I'm jealous about the fact that I don't have GoldenEye specific nostalgia. All my nostalgia is about the blue cartridge. The World Is Not Enough. That was my GoldenEye game that like that I played without even having context of like GoldenEye and how that was like the world altering thing. I played so much The World Is Not Enough on N64.
Fucking hipster over here, man.
And that's the thing. Like, that's my thing is like, I didn't choose this life. This life chose me. I don't know what my parents were on when they went to the store. They went to Game Exchange and they're like, oh, let's get World Is Not Enough. Oh, let's get Jet Force. Oh, let's get DK. Instead of these other games that everybody reveres. What's up, Tim?
Can you give me the one?
Give Tim the one. Oh, Michael, when did you get here?
Blessing.
What's up?
Now, can you give me the wine? I need to apologize to you.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good tweet.
Thank you.
It was a good tweet. I was wrong. Mm. And let me explain to you where I was wrong.
All right, where were you?
I said there was no poetry. There was poetry. There was. There was balance on each side of your this or that situation. Mm-hmm. I thought you were comparing GoldenEye to The World Ends With You.
What? All right.
Which I was like,
Barry's starting to show over.
What the fuck? What the fuck is happening? The world's not enough. That makes sense. You're comparing like things.
Exactly. Right. The GoldenEye is to The World Is Not Enough. What Perfect Dark is to Jet Force. What Banjo is to DK64. You're following me now.
Now I'm following. But you see where I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I understand that.
Different generation. Not even the same genre. Nothing about that made sense. But you know what? Congratulations.
Thank you. To be fair,
congratulations.
The world is forgotten. The world is not enough. It's not just a new thing. If I just say the words, the world is not enough, people don't understand what the fuck I'm talking about.
But see, I do. The moment you said blue cartridge, I was like, oh, I'm about that life. Now, you want to talk about 007 Nightfire on the GameCube, then we can have a party. But you know what? We'll have to party later. I've already said this is Kind of Funny Games Daily 10,000 times. Fucking Problems was the name of the song, by the way.
Oh, fucking that's problems. What it was.
Yeah.
That song slapped.
Remember, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to get the show ad-free, plus a bevy of bonus content. Okay, everybody? You want to do that. Just like Delaney Twining, our Patreon producer, who's the absolute best of us. The absolute best of us. Denise Richards is in The World Is Not Enough. Denise Richards, also a former Real Housewife of Beverly Hills. The more you know.
Who did Denise Richards play in The World Is Not Enough?
Christmas. And he was like, I thought Christmas only came once a year.
Okay. Wait, was that line in the game?
The line's in the movie.
Okay, I don't think they put the line in the game. I don't remember that. I feel like
you were just young. You didn't get.
Oh, maybe I didn't get it. Maybe I didn't get it as a youngin.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that like so great?
That's actually fantastic.
Housekeeping for you: a new shit list and Remember Blank are up on Patreon right now. We talk about the top 10 PS3 games on Shitlist and the original Dead Space on Remember Blank. You can go check those out on Patreon. The Ant-Man rewatch episode of In Review is live right now on YouTube. It's going up on Monday. It's going up on Monday.
Yeah.
It is a great episode where Nick and Greg decide to partner up against me and Andy. And it goes about as well.
About what?
Everything that you could possibly imagine.
Y'all are talking about Ant-Man.
Yes, we are. Yeah. Yes,
it's
we are.
It's not a controversial movie, is it?
They gang up on Tim and Andy before they even start fucking talking about the movie, Bless. They were just, they were in Greg and Nick energy mode, you know?
But like, what side do you and Andy not like the movie? Or?
Let me tell you, it had nothing to do with Ant-Man. Ganging up against us. All right. No. Greg was just in a Greg mood, all right? Mm-hmm. Anyways, go check that out. Today we're brought to you by the Kind of Funny Patreon, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report.
Tom Gross in chat says, Blessing is my father. And I'm going to pull a Pedro Pascal and say, no, I'm your daddy.
It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A baker's dozen. Release me from this sweet hell.
I'm so sorry to everybody that has to listen to this fucking episode, because there's Friday energy and then there's whatever the fuck this is.
This is the Gas Leak episode.
This is the Gas Leak episode, everybody. Barrett, I'm very proud of you. You nailed that.
I needed to take a deep inhale at one point.
But you had great breath control there. You did it at the right moment to kind of hide it in the pocket so that like there was a consistency when it
you
came.
You could be a rapper, Barrett.
Yeah.
With that kind of breath control.
Story number one. The Last of Us HBO is returning for season two. Last of Us HBO Twitter account tweets out, the journey continues. And then they just said what I already just said. And it's pretty damn exciting.
Yeah.
Like, not surprising to literally anyone on the world that's been keeping up with this show or watching The Last of Us, hearing all the records it's breaking, knowing that everyone that's watching it is absolutely loving it, and us on the other side knowing that not only is there a follow-up game, but it's perfectly translatable to the quality of this HBO show.
Of course. I think now is where we can begin even more the speculation of where do they take season two? Is it going to be one for one what Last of Us Part Two of the game was? Is it going to be divvied up into multiple seasons, right? Like, how do they keep this train going? I'm excited about the success of the Last of Us HBO show. And like, you know, it's been a tired conversation now about video game adaptations and their levels of quality, their varying levels of quality, and like the history of video game adaptations often not being great, right? And now in more recent years, we've gotten enough actually great ones, right? Looking at Sonic, looking at Cyberpunk, looking at Witcher, looking at Detective Pikachu, and the list actually goes on. Right? We're in a very exciting place for video game adaptations, and watching the first two episodes of The Last of Us, the tone has already been set. You know, like, I'm so looking forward to the rest of the season. I'm very excited for each episode. I'm excited for this next episode because I keep hearing really great things about where they're going with it. And so, yeah, congratulations to the team working on The Last of Us show. Congratulations to Neil Druckmann and everybody who's done work on The Last of Us. And yeah, like, I guess my question for you is, what do they do much to change season two?
No.
Do you think season two is going to be one for one what The Last of Us Part Two game was?
Yes. And no, I'm standing by and committing to what I've been saying. That's Last of Us Part Two will be two seasons of the show. But I do think that they will, that season two will.
You think it's going to be the same format though?
I do. Yeah. Because the thing about The Last of Us Two is, and without getting into the specific details of things, but this is general spoilers of Last of Us Two. If you don't want to know anything about this, like, don't listen to this. The formatting and placement and pacing of how the story plays out, I think is so core to the theme and tone and idea of what that game is actually about that you can't just move things around to make it better chronologically or to make it better to keep characters around longer or this or whatever. It's like, I think that the way that that game presents itself is so core to the point.
And honestly, I think the pacing would be better suited for something like television. The one drawback I would say in the pacing for the game is more of the gameplay stuff, when you have your arsenal essentially built up, and then it's kind of taken away from you. Again, I'm speaking in vagaries here as much as I can, but if you understand, like, in the middle of that where you have to kind of like start from scratch again, I feel like that was like a big damper, but you're not going to have that in a television show. My thing here, though, is, Tim, emotionally, right, if we're doing two parts where, you know, the season two follows one character and then season three, I imagine we're following a different character. When we go back to that first character by the end of season three, does that hit the same if the story is told across two seasons? Like, because it's been so long since we've been hanging out with that character and stuff like that.
So I don't worry about that for a couple reasons. One, like I've been saying, I think that seasons two and three are going to be a lot closer together than seasons one and two are going to be of the show. Like, I think the two and three will be annualized to some extent. And I also think that, like, we're talking about TV. Like, we're talking about HBO TV. People are used to watching these type of shows. Like, people watched Game of Thrones for a decade. You know what I mean? And, like, there was long-term storytelling there. There's characters that would pop back up later and, like, people followed. Like, I think we need to give people a little bit more credit than just assuming, like, they're completely stupid. Because I feel like there's a lot of completely stupid people out there. You know what I mean?
Don't point,
I dabble.
Don't point at me. How fucking dare you? You put that finger away, Tim Gettys.
I was literally about to put myself down saying I dabble in the stupid every once in a while. But yeah, that's very funny. Les is not stupid, everybody.
Thank
not
you.
Stupid at all.
A little stupid.
Just a little stupid. A little bit. But we're all a little stupid. But I feel, I don't even remember what the fuck I was saying. I'm one of them. No. There's a lot of stupid people out there. But I feel like the people that are committing to watching these HBO shows, if you're that far in, if you're multiple seasons into watching this prestige television show, you're in it. You get it. I don't think that it's going to take away from the vibe any more than it took away from the vibe for us playing the game and being away from them for that many hours.
Mm. I kind of hope they change some things. Not in the way that, like, totally change up the story to, like, you know, maybe reformat putting Abby in a different place. Or, like, what I want from season two of The Last of Us is for them to translate it to TV the best they can to tell that story in the ways in which, like, we have different things going on in this season one of The Last of Us. For me, the difference going into it, though, is Last of Us 1 as a video game and as a story, I think translates a bit easier for what the themes are of that story than Last of Us Part 2. For me, Last of Us Part 2 so much is being in the shoes of those characters and carrying out those acts. I think that story is so powerful because I am the one who is who's murdering people, named people, right? I slash or I stab somebody and then their friend over there is like, oh, Dan, please don't kill my friend Dan, right? Like doing that, like having the moments where you're playing as, and we're getting into slight spoilers for Last of Us Part 2 if you don't want to hear anything, getting into the moments in the second half of the game where you're playing as Abby, right, and seeing that seeing the results of the actions that you did in the first half, for me that works and is powerful because it's a video game and because you are actually the person that is having control over these things. I am curious to see how they tackle some of the same subject matter, right, and I'm sure the same themes, because I think at the core of The Last of Us Part 2 and The Last of Us period, right, are the themes. Hey, Last of Us Part 1 is about connection. It is about Joel at the very top of the game losing kind of his faith in humanity, right? Losing this his connection with his daughter because of what happens, right? And then having to rebuild those same kind of connections later on in the game with Ellie. I think if they capture that, then cool, that's successful. Last of Us Part 2 is about rage, right? Like rage that it essentially spawns from love of a person, right? Where it is, hey, I am going after Joel because Joel killed somebody I loved. Hey, I'm going after Ellie because Ellie killed somebody I love, right? And it is the spawning of rage because of what is happening to the people you love. I think as long as they capture that, then what they do around it, everything, all the choices they make in terms of translating this to television around that should just contribute to that theme. And then, like, you know, whatever you change from there, you change from there. So I guess I say all this to say that, like, I'm down for them to switch things up as long as it makes it good for TV.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I think they have proven so far that they are doing just that, and I expect them to do that. And I think that there's a reality that Last of Us 2 has a lot more gameplay than Last of Us 1 does, and we've already seen what they do for gameplay in Last of Us 1, and they dramatically change it. The shootout with Robert wasn't a shootout with Robert, right? And apply that logic to many scenes in Last of Us 2. I think it is going to be a little bit condensed to the point that I'm still convinced that it'll be seasons 2 and 3 to make up Last of Us Part 2. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they could cover the entirety of the game in one season doing the same exact format of the story of the games. Because if you take out the gameplay elements, I do think that what you're talking about, the player being, like, the one doing these things, you kind of feel more implicated. TV doesn't need to do that. They can tell that story differently, and they can make it more about the character. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, but my gut tells me that they're going to, like, really sit with it and add, if anything, not take away.
One thing I'll add, too, right, because I'm somebody who, I love the story of The Last of Us. I love the story of The Last of Us Part 2. I don't think the story of The Last of Us Part 2 is perfect. Like, there are actually quite a few issues that I have with that story, and I think parts of it are, at the end of the day, I loved Abby as a character. A lot of people fucking hate Abby, right? And a lot of those people hate Abby for bad reasons. I think there are a handful of people that I think could see better ways in which you introduce that character and make that character one that you sympathize with more than how they did it, right? I think, especially in a TV format, I could see the case of, if you are cutting it in halves, right, making it a season 2, season 3 situation with the first and second half of The Last of Us Part 2, I could see the case where it is, hey, you are in Ellie's shoes for all of season 2, and you get to the end, and then you get to season 3, and boom, it is Abby's story now. And, like, having to kind of sit with that for a while, and now you are sitting with these actions as Ellie, and then coming back over a year later, possibly, to that, I could see how that might even have a worse effect than in the game, right? Where it is, all right, back to back, boom, you did this. Now get into Ellie's shoes or get into Abby's shoes and get that story. I don't know if that's entirely the best way to do it in TV. If they figure it out, and like if Neil and the team find a, and Craig find a great way to do that through the show, then they do, and then I think they do it. But I could also see a route in which maybe it is concurrently you are cutting back and forth between Abby and Ellie to give more of a side by side, and maybe make it more palpable to the wider audience than they did in the Last of Us Part Two game. Because at the very least, we could all say Last of Us Part Two was conflicting for a lot of people, right? Like that was people took that each and every way. I think maybe you can make the Last of Us Part Two or Last of Us Season Two and Three in a way that maybe gets more people in because you tell it in a more a targeted way.
Yeah, I feel some of what you're saying, but I think that it takes away the point if you intermix it too much. Like it has to be this and then that for the experience, whether or not you're playing. So making it more palpable and all that, I'm not looking for palpable. I'm looking for a good story. I'm looking for like committing to the theme and tone, and I have full belief that they're going to do that. So I'm not worried at all. I love Last of Us 1. I love Last of Us 2. And I am loving the Last of Us HBO show. This is going to be fucking awesome. I'm just so happy that we're getting this. Not a surprise Season 2 is confirmed, but I'm very happy it is confirmed because hopefully this means we'll start getting some production news soon. And then it's like, all right, cool. We're going to get Season 2 sooner than we could have been getting it.
How violent you think they get with Season 2?
Extremely.
Because Last of Us Part 2, like Last of Us Part 1 is violent, of course. Mm-hmm. Last of Us Part 2, I always think back to the scene where it is, I think it was the Scars, or was the Scars a bad name for them? Them being like Clipper Wings.
The Seraphites,
yeah. Them being like Clipper Wings, and then like they fucking hammer in the girl's elbows. I think it was Abby, actually, right? That shit was violent. And like,
there's a show on HBO that once was on HBO called Game of Thrones, if you remember.
Mm.
And Game of Thrones would also get pretty fucking violent and dark. So I don't think they're going to stray away from that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, even The Last of Us show so far has had some fucking, like,
yeah,
fucked up imagery and, like just cutting people's open and shit. It's like, ugh.
On a similar note, because people are concerned of, like, how are they going to, like, try to let go of a certain character, like, you know, soon after season one, going right into season two and stuff like that. And it's like, let me take you back to a little show called Game of Thrones. End of season one, Sean Bean.
Or Walking Dead.
Yeah. Exactly. Right?
Which, I mean, I think there is no better analog to The Last of Us than Game of Thrones and Walking Dead. Yeah. It is a combination of those two. They're going to commit. They're going to go hard. They're going to piss people off so
And I can't wait.
Much.
I can't but wait.
Here's the thing, right? Walking Dead also had a lot of bad seasons, is the thing. And
some of the early ones.
Yeah, but even like for me, The Walking Dead got to some of its worst parts when it was just indulging purely in the violence. Like the Negan episode should have been one of the best episodes of TV, and I fucking hated that episode because it was like watching torture porn. And for me, for Last of Us Part Two, there are certain parts where I'm like, this is like watching torture porn. Like there are parts of Last of Us, especially the last few hours of Last of Us Part Two, where I'm like, I straight up just don't like for how violent it gets. And again, I got trust in the team. HBO's done this before, you know, all that stuff. I think they could get it right. I also think there are some ways that they could get it wrong. I just hope they don't get it wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on to story number two. Joel from The Last of Us is hosting SNL.
Hey!
The Game Awards tweeted out, The Last of Us star Pedro Pascal will host Saturday Night Live on February 4th with musical guest Coldplay.
Hey, man.
It's all
You're treading
yellow.
Some mighty thin ice, man. That's my Michael Cera as Joel.
Coldplay there?
Oh, fuck. What's that Coldplay song that we were singing yesterday?
Yellow.
Hey, man. Yellow.
Hey, man. It's all yellow, man. Cool.
Let's go. Stop doing your impressions.
Thank you, man. You know, I've been practicing at this for a while. You know, I know what I'm doing when it comes to impressions.
This is cool. I'm excited for it. I think it's a little weird how much people are talking about this. It's like SNL happens every week and people host it. Like, it feels like Pedro Pascal is getting like extra boosted up from it.
I think maybe from our circles, just because, like, you know, he's Joel, right? This is a thing to promote the Last of Us, and so it's kind of cool to have that SNL status from somebody who's doing this video game adaptation. I don't really watch SNL. I only watch the Che and the other dude who do the
Weekend Update.
I only watch Weekend Update because Weekend Update is fucking gold. Everything else I don't watch, but
good for Pedro. Even Weekend Update every once in a while, it's like, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like when they do the
they had a good
swap.
Parks and Rec reunion a week or two ago when Aubrey Plaza hosted. That was cute.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, Aubrey Plaza went hard, man. They did a parody of the
I love her so
like
much.
The Miss Universe thing, you know, where
the Steve Harvey thing?
No,
okay. Oh, Steve Harvey reading the wrong name.
Oh, no. The thing where
that was like a decade ago.
Yeah, that's where I was like, oh, that's a late time to do this joke.
Where it cut between like all the different women like saying the countries they're from. Have you seen this? Like the last week that's going viral, and then she says France really funny.
No, I've not seen
France.
That. No, I've not seen that.
Oh, we gotta watch
that's
it later,
really
dude.
Funny.
You know what? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't know if we should pull it up though.
I think we need to pull it up.
Are we gonna get striked? Is that the thing?
I worry if we're gonna get striked by pulling it up.
Well, you show me later. Show
you
me.
You're gonna get fucking striked. But anyways, it's fucking hilarious. Aubrey Plaza was on it, but SNL needs to sometimes not just like do something the exact same way the original thing did it. Like, there's no parody there. You're just doing the thing.
Mm.
But anyways, I digress. Yeah. Pedro Pascal.
I watched the Drake episode of SNL years ago. That was fun.
Yeah.
We are down to our final seven contestants.
Oh, no, I didn't want you to bring up the SNL version. We're definitely going to get caught for that.
Kenan Thompson's coming for us.
The original, the video, the what they're referencing.
Great. Oh.
With the front.
We're doing this with commentary, YouTube. We're commentating on things.
Anyways, Pedro Pascal, are you interested in this?
No.
You think this is going to be anything
good? I mean, I'm sure this will be good because Pedro Pascal is great. I'm not watching this, but cool. Yeah, that's awesome for him.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Are you going to watch it?
I won't watch the episode, but I'll watch all the produced bits they do.
Mm-hmm.
They recently hired Mike Diva. Do you remember Mike Diva?
No.
Remember Mike Sexy Diva. Sax Man?
Are these SNL things? Because I'm just...
No. Mike YouTube.
I'm more of an all that person.
Anyway, do you remember Dubstep Guns?
Yes.
The Quarter Digital Video? Mike Diva did all the VFX on that.
Oh, okay.
He's now doing... he works for SNL and he does a lot of their VFX and like that stuff. So
it'll be interesting to see how he does like improv, because not just because you're a great actor doesn't mean you're great at improv.
Pedro Pascal strikes me as somebody who might be great at improv, though.
Yeah,
like seeing him in that Nicolas
Unbearable
Cage movie.
Weight of massive content.
He is so fucking funny. He's so fucking good. And so yeah, like if he does.
Again, written comedy still different from improv.
True. But he just has that quirky energy that makes me think that he would be one of those improv dudes. If he does like a stand-up monologue, maybe I'll watch those 2 minutes.
Is it? It's not improv, right? They're all there's like fucking prompters. They're always like looking at it.
Yeah, I know.
Pedro's gonna kill it.
He's got the stuff.
He's got the stuff, man. Story number three. Would you believe it, Bless? More Last of Us shit.
Whoa.
This is an easy, quick one, though. You can watch the first episode of Last of Us Show for free now. This comes from Ethan Gatch at Kotaku. Even if you don't have an HBO Max subscription, but you want to see what all the fuss is about when it comes to the series, you're in luck. In an unusual move, the streaming service has made the first episode of the new show free to watch. I wouldn't say it's unusual. They do this for a lot of their bigger stuff that starts getting like that mainstream appeal. They did it for House of the Dragon as well.
Mm.
But yeah, go check it out. If somehow you're watching this show, and you have interest in watching The Last of Us and haven't yet, now's your chance.
There you go. This could have been a deal of the day, but yeah, go watch The Last of Us episode one on YouTube if you don't have HBO Max.
And then I want to move on to the next story, but before I do that, Bless.
Where are you going to take me, Tim?
I'm going to take you to our sponsors.
Yo, what's up? I'm Blessing, the host of Kinda Feudy, the show where I ask members of Kinda Funny to answer questions like, name a game where you can fight giant enemies. Name a type of animal you can play as in Diddy Kong Racing. Name a PlayStation character who you'd want on your pickup basketball team. Name a game genre that Greg Miller refuses to play. Good Games is not on there, but it was written in quite a bit. And see how many audience members voted for that answer, and it usually makes them kind of mad. Red Faction is our 30-point answer.
Oh, yeah, baby!
That is our fourth most popular answer.
Whoa!
I'm still waiting for Bless to be like, just kidding.
Once again,
you guys are so bad at this game!
Catch up on the latest episodes right now, exclusively on patreon.com/kindoffunny.
You know, you guys are all lucky that you get to watch this episode live, because who knows what's going on? There's never been an energy quite like this.
You think slip up and say something crazy?
No, I don't know about that. I'm just saying, who the hell knows what's going to happen today, you know?
What's that? That sounds like a threat.
Who knows what's going to happen, Bless? Story number four, Far Cry 7 and a standalone Far Cry multiplayer game are reportedly in the works. This comes from Tom Ivan at VGC. Ubisoft's currently developing Far Cry 7 and a standalone Far Cry multiplayer game. I'm going to stop right there. Thank you. I've been saying it for years. Make a multiplayer game. Make a single player game. They don't need to be the same fucking game. Okay?
I was wondering where you're going with that. I thought you were going to say I've been requesting a Far Cry multiplayer game, and I was like, "Oh, this is not Tim Geddes.
No.
He's been replaced. Something's wrong with him. He's trying to communicate to us."
According to reports from Kotaku and Insider Gaming, with the former claiming that Ubisoft CEO Yves Guillemot mentioned both games during an internal company update last week. Sources also told the site that Far Cry 7 is being made with Ubisoft's Snowdrop engine rather than the Dunia engine used for recent series entries. Snowdrop powers Ubisoft Massive's The Division series, as well as the studio's upcoming Avatar Frontiers of Pandora and its open-world Star Wars game. You see that Avatar 2 crossed 2 billion, is now the number 4 highest grossing movie of all time, and it's closing in on number 3.
Why do you say that with an excited tone? Are you rooting?
Pandora!
Are you rooting for Avatar?
I'm fucking rooting for Avatar. Fuck yeah, I am.
You're the only person I know rooting for Avatar.
Just fucking respect, man. According to Insider Gaming sources, Ubisoft Montreal is working on both new Far Cry games, which were originally planned to be part of the same package. The multiplayer game, and now it's not. So thank you. Thank you, Ubisoft. Both titles are said to be tentatively scheduled for release in the fall or autumn of 2025. Far Cry 6, which released in 2021, included online campaign co-op but didn't have a competitive multiplayer component. Ubisoft said this month that it had canceled 3 unannounced games and was planning to strengthen its focus on its biggest brands and live service following weaker than expected software sales over the holiday season.
A lot of interesting stuff in here. Could you believe that they made it Far Cry 7? They're about to make it a Far Cry 7. And even with that, that doesn't even include the spinoffs, right? We've had a lot of Far Cry games. Stuff, yeah, when you get to the dinosaur one and the future parody space one.
It's wild.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really wild, but I do think that with that, Far Cry 7 and a separate multiplayer game, if they're talking here 2025, fall of 2025, mm-hmm. and the last Far Cry game, 2021, that's a pretty nice gap. Right?
Yeah, I didn't think about it like that.
Because I'm thinking back, and I might be wrong about this, and when you add the spin-offy ones, like I think it gets even a quicker clip, but it felt like for a while, Far Cry, there was 3.
It was back to back to
and
back.
Then I feel like the gap to 4 was like a little long, and then I felt like it just kept going after that.
I mean, what? I imagine...
Because Far Cry 4 was...
It was like around...
15?
It might have been 2014. Yeah.
Because that was very early PS4. And then Far Cry 5, I was at IGN at that point. So that was like 2017, I want to say.
Probably around that. Yeah.
And then in between that.
In between, you had Primal.
You had Primal, which was like, what, 2016?
Oh, they also put out that Far Cry, the one with it was like twins and it was post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, give me one sec.
That was after the one 5.
Nick Scarpino liked that came out in 2019.
I'm gonna drop the facts for y'all, motherfuckers.
Drop the facts.
Far Cry 2 was 2008.
Okay.
Far Cry 3, 2012.
Uh huh.
Then 2013, Far Cry 3, Blood Dragon.
Blood Dragon. Yeah.
2014, Far Cry 4.
Oh, 14?
2014.
Oh, damn.
Far Cry 4.
Okay.
Far Cry Primal wasn't until 2016, and Far Cry 5, 2018. And then Far Cry New Dawn, 2019, and then Far Cry 6 in 2021. So I think our gut instinct was actually wrong. It's just the spinoffs make it seem like there's been so much Far Cry, but there's actually...
But like there's not been a spinoff since, or coming at least announced, right? We don't have a spinoff after after this latest Far Cry, Far Cry 6. And so you're kind of spot on. By the time you get to 2025, that'll be a sizable gap.
If they don't have a spinoff title.
Exactly.
And which they might.
I mean, they might. They had the DLC that they dropped for Far Cry 6, and I feel like that might have helped fill in the space there. I would also think that it's weird that the Far Cry 7 and the multiplayer game are leaking before a spinoff would leak. And so, yeah, I could see it panning out that way, especially with them changing engines. I think that, for me, is the notable thing. You know, like, I would be totally down for a Far Cry that feels a bit different in gameplay, right? Like I think there's a lot of improvement to be made there. I think the multiplayer thing is interesting. I don't like that it's an extraction-based shooter, and maybe they find a way to Far Cry it and make it interesting. All I know is that they made an extraction-based shooter with one of their biggest IPs that makes sense for an extraction-based shooter in Rainbow Six Siege, Rainbow Six Extraction. And Rainbow Six Extraction didn't hit. I don't know if Rainbow Six Extraction doesn't hit as an extraction-based shooter from Ubisoft. I don't know how much trust I have in a Far Cry extraction game from Ubisoft. Again, maybe they take learnings. Maybe they figure shit out. Maybe it is different engine. Maybe it is more focus and more budget. We are talking about a Ubisoft now that is trying to refocus and go, hey, let's shave off all the unnecessary stuff. Let's shave off all this extracurricular stuff and focus in on our bigger IPs. Far Cry for Ubisoft is a bigger IP, so maybe that does make sense for them in that way, where it is. Maybe that Far Cry Extraction game was actually a different, weird, you know, the new Extraction game that they're now putting the Far Cry name on. Who knows? All I know is that there's a lot of Far Cry out there. Yeah. I cannot believe we're at 7 and maybe a multiplayer game.
Yeah, for sure. Now, question for you, Bless.
What up?
There's a couple things we talk about a lot on this show. We talk about the Xbox dominoes. We talk about Ubisoft not having an identity. When are they going to figure it out? Do you think that 2025 is the turning point? Because like we understand game development takes time. We know that like it's not as simple as just like, hey, there's problems now, so next year they'll fix it all. Do you think that this is the first signs, the first things we're hearing about a potential new proposed vision for what Ubisoft can be?
Possibly, going by the assumption that Ubisoft is not acquired by then or has emerged with another company by then, I think by 2025 we might start to see inklings of a new and improved Ubisoft. I don't think Far Cry is going to be that, right? I think to Far Cry's credit, from what I can tell, Far Cry has always been consistent. It's not like Far Cry 6 was garbage by any means, right? Like Far Cry 6 came out and it was Far Cry. It did what Far Cry did. And that's probably good for Far Cry, and that's probably good for Ubisoft. I don't know if Far Cry 7 and the Far Cry multiplayer game are going to be what reinvent Ubisoft, but by then I imagine that, you know, Assassin's Creed Mirage supposedly is coming out this year. I think that'll come out this year. By then, I think we're talking about Assassin's Creed Red, I think is the next one, right? The one that's in Japan. If that one comes out and that one hits, that's going to be huge, let alone the massive Star Wars game. If that comes out and that hits, that's going to be huge, right? I think those two games hitting, Avatar coming out and being good, right? Like, I think those are the things that start to get you back on track and start to refocus Ubisoft, right? Let alone like maybe some of the other big partnerships that they're working on. I would love to see another Mario and Rabbids for the people that like Mario and Rabbids, and I would like to see that hit more than this previous one. Not that it was bad, but it just didn't sell as much as the original one.
Because we're talking like almost 3 years from now for these games to come out, because they're saying fall 2025.
Yeah,
so it's like it's the latter half, right? Of
are we gonna get Splinter Cell remake by then? Because that's already announced. They're already working on that.
I mean, 2025 sounds right for that. Mm-hmm. I would say 2024 sounds early.
I know we use the word dominoes a lot, but those are the dominoes, right? Splinter Cell, Star Wars, the new Assassin's Creed games. I think if those start hitting and those start being consistent, then yeah, I think that spells out a brighter future for Ubisoft. And I think that gets us through what I've been talking about in terms of Ubisoft in the last few years has had a lot of games that it feels like they're just pooping out. Mm-hmm. Like they're not like Roller Champions didn't really get that much fanfare from the audience. And then also it didn't feel like he got that much fanfare from Ubisoft. Where was the marketing for that game? The one that I liked, Riders Republic, is another one that felt like it came out and it's like, cool, it's out. Let's see how the audience takes to it. But like it didn't feel like they were pushing it that hard. Like the marketing budget didn't feel like it lived up to what that game was. Rainbow Six Extraction, Hyperscape, the list goes on. The announced the Project Q that was announced and then shut down. There's a lot of Ubisoft games that are either announced or came out that just aren't getting the support, and it feels like a result of previous management, that editorial team greenlighting all this stuff and now having to go, all right, like let's just get through all this bullshit so we can get to the stuff that we actually want to push because we know this stuff is going to be good for the company. Maybe that's by 2025. Maybe once we get there, we're going to be past all the bullshit.
Yeah, man. It's
fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. I want them to be good. I want them to figure this stuff out. I gotta be honest. I'm getting less and less hopeful by the year at this point. I don't even want to say the day because it's been so long since I've been excited about the idea. If Ubisoft announces doing a Ubisoft Forward, mm-hmm, in a week, I'd be like, oh cool, that's something I need to schedule. It wouldn't be something that I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm excited about it, which like almost every other showcase has that vibe. Are you with
I mean, yeah, like even EA, if EA did a showcase next week, I'm excited for it. That's more than what I could say about what I could have said about EA years and years ago, right? I feel like Ubisoft is now taking that EA spot of, oh man, if I see a Ubisoft showcase, I know what it's going to be. It's going to be updates on Assassin's Creed. It's going to be another Skull and Bones trailer for some reason, right? It's going to be Just Dance 2024. It's going to
still no Beyond Good and Evil 2.
And still no Beyond Good and Evil 2.
And still Rayman. No Rayman.
And Prince
Where's my Rayman?
And Prince of Persia is still being remade. By who? Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
I hope that they care. I hope they care as much as Motive cared about Dead Space. Is that too much to ask?
I mean, right now I feel like Ubisoft needs a Motive. Ubisoft needs a Respawn, right? Like, they need those stars. They need what the EA originals, right? Like, they need stars over there to like carry them up.
You're so right, but what you're saying, for as trepidatious as I am about the future of Ubisoft, they can turn it around. We've now seen it. I feel like we need to really, really take in the fact that we've had more turnaround stories than, oh man, they fucked up and they just never got back stories in the games industry when it comes to specific game titles, things like Cyberpunk, et cetera, et cetera. But now even EA, we were talking about this the last couple of days, but like everyone hates EA. Mm-hmm. And the last 2-3 years, EA is awesome.
Yeah. Like EA's perfect,
but awesome.
EA has problems for sure, but at the very least, EA is putting out games that we will put up there as some of our most anticipated. Jedi Survivor is coming out in a couple months. I cannot fucking wait for Jedi Survivor, right? Like, every now, whenever there's an Apex season launch, I at least peek in to see, like, all right, what's the new hero? Like, let me check this out. You know, like, we just got Dead Space, and Dead Space is, so far, the highest Metacritic game of the year. We're in January, I know, but, like, I'm sure that's going to stay that way for a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Really, really interesting. And then also, Mr. Showtime says NFS Unbound was great. Even though nobody bought it. But yeah, they came out with a Need for Speed game that...
That
like,
was good.
We all, for at least a minute, were like, what? This is cool.
Yeah.
I played a little bit last weekend. Just because I saw it on my dashboard. I'm like, you know what?
You know what? Let me boot up Need for Speed. Shit. And it's a fun Need for Speed game.
It is a fun Need for Speed game. Like, racing games, man. They're just so fun. Story number 5. The Forza Motorsport release date may have been delayed. It's been claimed. This comes from Tom Ivan at the GC. Microsoft may have delayed the Forza Motorsport release date. Xbox announced last June that the game would be released in the spring of 2023 and said separately it was scheduled for release in the first half of the year. But during Wednesday's Xbox and Bethesda Developer _ Direct Showcase, the latest update on the game only confirmed that it was still targeting a 2023 release, leading to speculation that it may have slipped. Following the show, Giant Bomb reporter Jeff Grubb, a.k.a. Jeffy Grubb, said he'd been told that the game had been delayed until the second half of the year. What I'm hearing, I'm feeling pretty good about after this. Here's the quote for you. What I'm hearing, I'm feeling pretty good about this after asking around a couple of times after hearing about it the first time earlier today. It does seem like Forza is going to slip later into the year and probably won't be the first half of the year, he said on Thursday. Grubb added, the time frame I'm hearing for Forza is Q3, and maybe even a little bit later than that. VGC has contacted Microsoft to ask if the game's still scheduled for release in the first half of 2023, as announced last year, but has not heard back. What do you think, Bless?
I'm not that mad at this. I know I'm sure a lot of the Xbox audience is like, oh, what the fuck? Like, Xbox needs games, like, all this stuff. But I look at Xbox's first half already, and I feel like it's a fine first half, especially getting Hi-Fi Rush this week. Like, the more I play this game, the more I'm like, wow, this is a dope-ass release from Xbox. You know, like, I'm at the point now playing Hi-Fi Rush that if this game doesn't end up in my top 10 by the end of the year, that would mean that this is one of the best video game years of all time. That's how much I'm enjoying this game, right? And we're only in January, let alone we got GoldenEye today, right? And I know, like, GoldenEye isn't the perfect release. There seems to be some issues with that. But, you know, we got that. There's Atomic Heart next month. And I'm going to lump in some third-party stuff because third-party stuff does come to the platform. But, you know, Wolong Fallen Dynasty, the Harry Potter, Minecraft Legends, you know, Redfall is May 2nd. The first half for Xbox is fine, even without Forza. And I think if you're looking at a second half of the year for Xbox that is being carried by Forza and Starfield, I think that'll spell out a better year for Xbox than we've had in a while. And so I'm not too worried about whether or not Forza hits first half or second half. I think that audience will play that game when they play that game, right? I don't think we're in a rush for Forza by any means. Yeah. But maybe I'm wrong. I'm also not a motorsport person. I'm a Horizon person.
I was telling Barrett this yesterday. I don't think I'm ever going to remember the name Hi-Fi Rush.
It's so, yeah, it's such a, like, a tough-to-recall name. It's because it's like, what? It feels like you just pulled together random words.
I keep saying, I don't know why, I keep calling it high-res funk, and it's not that.
Yesterday you called it hi-fi funk when we sat down to do the show.
Here I am, everybody. Here, I'm just a man. I'm just an innocent man.
Hi-Fi Rush at the same time is a dope name, but I feel like it might be bad branding at the same time.
Yeah.
Because I love it, but OMG, I don't know if it's
Jesus
good
says, Tim, your brain fascinates me, my dude.
Timmy Buddy says, I keep saying Wi-Fi Rush.
That's the thing, man. That's just it's weird.
Have you played more of Hi-Fi Rush?
Yes, not enough, not nearly enough. What a goddamn video game. We're going to be talking about a lot more next week. The X-Cast will be the actual review of the game. Mm-hmm. And then Gamescast, whoever's on it, will just give their impressions as well. But what a fucking time, man. I'm just so excited. I'm electrified.
He's electrified.
By this game just popping out of nowhere and like doing something that is so unique and can never be done again. Like what happened a couple days ago with the release of Hi-Fi Rush. Yes, Hi-Fi Rush is so special for the games industry. And I feel like we've had so many bad news stories. We've had so many disappointing things. To just get a fucking win, it's just great.
Out of nowhere, too.
What a January already when it comes to video games. Getting Dead Space and this so early. Like, the month's not even over. We're running out of days here. But, like, we got so many amazing video games. Like, you say that this might be the best year. I think that if it's not the best year, it's going to be a disappointment. Mm-hmm. Like it's just set up for success.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. The more I play Hi-Fi Rush, the more I'm like, how in the world does this game exist? How did Xbox turn to Tango Gameworks and go, hey, release one of the best games of the year just on a random Wednesday in January, and they did it. Like, Hi-Fi Rush is so goddamn good. I'm trying to find a clip. I can't find the clip. But there was a clip that somebody was sharing about. It was one of the early cutscenes in the game where they go from... just like the regular, it's not even an early cutscene, actually. I think it might be later. But they go from gameplay into like this dope ass 3D animated cutscene that transitions so cleanly into 2D animation, and they do cutscene stuff. And then like Chai, the main character, breaks through a window, and like they use that transition to then transition back to 3D gameplay. And it's like, how in the world did you accomplish this? It feels like I'm playing a Spider-Verse game. It's ridiculous how good the animation is, and then also how fun the game is.
It's fucking cool, man. It's, and
you know, so we're talking about how good games are right now. Started playing Hitman Freelancer yesterday. I'm sure I can save all this for Gamescast, but we got time. I started playing Hitman Freelancer yesterday, which, like, if you've somehow missed it, Hitman 3 yesterday did the transition into becoming Hitman World of Assassination, to where now it includes all the levels from Hitman, Hitman's 2 and 1. And so there's a buttload of levels in this game now, and they're treating it all as one package now. The new Freelancer mode in the game is basically a roguelite mode, where you log in, right? Or you boot up the game, you hit the mode, you get into the mode, and you have this hub area that you can walk around is Agent 47, and you have like a gun locker that has like all these slots for guns. You have like places where you can go for items. You have other rooms that you can go into. Like, there's a closet where you can change your clothes, and you unlock that at level 3, and you like you up your level by doing the Hitman missions, the roguelite like missions. But like I unlocked the closet at level 3. There are other rooms where it's like, you'll unlock this room at level 7, you'll unlock this room at level 15, and I'm like, I don't know what these rooms are, but I really want to know what these, you'll unlock upstairs at level 18, and I'm like, oh, I need to know what's upstairs. And so basically you are going through, you pick up these different contracts, and the contracts are these stacked up Hitman missions that are in the different areas of the game. And each mission is, hey, take out these one or two people in the level without dying. If you die, I think it's like if you die twice, then your run is over and you have to start all over. So it's the high stakes Hitman missions where you start with nothing also, right? From the first get-go, you are starting with nothing. You go out, the items that you find in the world are the items that you get to carry forward into the next mission. And so if I find a wrench or if I find a screwdriver, I get to keep that for the next mission and use it there. Same with guns, same with weapons, all that stuff.
Interesting.
I played it a little bit yesterday, and already I'm enthralled with it. And it's also it's tough if you're not great at Hitman, which I am learning that I am not as great at Hitman as I thought I was, because this mode is beating my ass. But
so
I am
you're saying this isn't for Nick Scarpino.
No, it's not for Nick Scarpino, but I want to make Nick Scarpino do this, because the thing I like about this mode is how it forces you to be careful. You don't have like save states. You can't just like reload your last save if you fucked up. I have been getting angry at myself where I'm like standing in a position and I'm about to get the pounce on my target, and somebody, just a fucking random person, sees me pull out my machete. They're like, what you doing with the machete? And I'm like, don't look. And then all of a sudden a big thing breaks out, and I'm like, fuck, I needed to be more careful. I guess I've never played a stealth immersive sim roguelite like this before, and it is dope as fuck. I'm super into the concept. I want to keep going back and keep playing and getting better. But yeah, video games are happening right now.
They're
really cool.
They're happening. And yeah,
one thing I want to shout out for Hi-Fi Rush, because I started it last night, because I remember someone saying it was like tutorial heavy at the very beginning. I think maybe you, Bless.
Yeah.
But even the tutorials, like, I was laughing at, like, that dumb robot who's like, you know, insisting that you guys are friends and stuff. I'm like, yeah, this is like a lot of tutorial, and like you're kind of repeating tutorials with him. But it was also like payoff with, you know, some good jokes.
Some fun, really fun writing.
I think we're all in agreement on that. It's just the level of quality, Barrett, once you get through the tutorials, it skyrockets, man.
It's like, crazy.
I got to the base last night, so I got through, like, the first tutorial level last night.
Just wait, because, yeah, it is that first level, you're like, oh, this is a pretty cool game. And then you get to the second level, and you're like, oh, yeah, this is really cool. And then you get to the third level, and it's like, oh, this game is dope as fuck. Yeah, like, this exactly. is fucking awesome.
So, it's really cool. But anyways, we have that. Forza, rounding this out, not surprised. I think that that's the type of game. That's a perfect example of a game that... just get it right. Like, Gran Turismo 7, right, came out. Like, these are games that are not for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Forza Horizon is more the pick up and play. Anyone's going to have fun with this. Forza Motorsport, that's for
the hardcore. Get it right for the hardcore.
Yeah. Story number 6, Skybound Entertainment makes a substantial investment in Mega Cat Studios. Skybound Entertainment made the investment in Mega Cat Studios, a creative first video game developer with a retro ethos and culture of innovation. Mega Cat Studios is currently developing WrestleQuest, a new RPG adventure featuring a licensed roster of iconic wrestling legends for Skybound. The strategic investment continues Skybound's efforts to expand its global publishing footprint and to partner with top game making talent and creative teams. Quote, Mega Cat Studios is an incredibly ambitious and talented team of game developers that are dedicated to their craft, reimagining retro style entertainment in exciting and innovative ways. James Deegan and the Mega Cat team embody a culture of fandom, and this closely aligns with our efforts to put fans and creators first. Retro games deliver a massive nostalgic element. After seeing the progress and creativity on WrestleQuest, we are extremely excited about working closely on the future growth of the studio. This is awesome.
Yeah.
I think this is really cool. Skybound Games, I think, are a really, really, really great group of people that really care about video games, and specifically, like, these type of games, like these small indie titles, and they have the means to push, and they have the brand of Skybound. So I think this is awesome. And this is the smallest scale version of PlayStation eventually getting Insomniac, because we all knew it was a match made in heaven. It's kind of the same thing here. This is on the indie side, but they've been working together for a while anyways, now just kind of sealing the deal here, I think, is going to be even better for WrestleQuest when it comes out and whatever they have in the future.
Yeah, I think this is awesome. I'm all for indie developers getting more funding, right? Because we've heard all the crazy stories of, oh man, I quit my job, I sold my house to, like, get the money to make this game, and now my life depends on if this game succeeds or not, right? Like, those are the kind of horror stories that can exist when it comes to video game development, right? And indie development, because again, video games take a lot of money to make, they take a lot of time to make, and video games are really hard to make. And so being Mega Cat Studios and working on this game WrestleQuest, which is going to be for a niche audience, it's going to speak to the Greg Millers of the world. I'm curious about it. I want to try this game out. I played a little bit of it at Summer Game Fest, and I thought it was really cool. But, like, this is a game that is going to speak so loudly to a very niche audience, and being able to have Skybound back you and invest in you so that you can make that game with a bit more comfortability, and then also maybe continue to look toward your future as a studio and have that future be a little bit more secure. I think that's awesome. And so, yeah good on Mega Cat Studio for securing that. And, yeah, good on Skybound for having an eye for really cool indie developers.
Yep. They do, and they have, and I think that they have a lot of really cool stuff brewing that I expect Skybound to become a bigger deal in the coming years when it comes to the indie space of really, like, I don't know if they'll ever hit a Devolver level, but I do think that they will be in the conversation when we start talking.
I like the idea of having more of those, right?
Yeah,
more
for sure.
Devolvers, Annapurna's, Thunderfuls, like the indie publishers.
A great example too.
Yeah, that, like, focus in on these indie games that have these indie devs that have really cool ideas, but could very much use a publisher to give them the backing and give them the help they need.
Yeah. Well, finding out if they're going to get the help that they need, so far away.
Friday.
What's coming out today? Where did I look?
You look toward the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday. I got my own reader mail for you. Like, a reader mail that's up here for you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm excited for this. But before we get into that, I think we have a surprise.
Do we?
Nope. The surprise is Dead Space is being remade, and it's out today.
It is out today. out today.
Surprise? What
Did you think he was coming to say someone on the microphone?
I don't know. And then we have GoldenEye 007 coming out, which is crazy. Never thought I would have that type of out today on the same day with Dead Space.
And the same day as Dead. What year is it?
Big surprise.
What year is it?
The big surprise.
The big surprise.
Atone, Heart of the Elder Tree is on PC, PS4, and Nintendo Switch.
Did you say Tim Tendo Switch?
Did I? I don't know. Andy, what are you doing?
Looking for his guitar, I think.
He's looking for his guitar.
Okay, okay, cool.
Tim saw you walk by and thought you were coming to the microphone.
It looked like you were walking on. So.
And he started introducing you as a special guest. And I'm going.
Oh, man. This episode, I'm telling y'all, going down in the books.
I'm saying, this is a Gas Leak episode, right?
If you're watching this episode, don't watch this episode.
If you inhale enough of this smoke, this is what happens to you.
This is what happens.
Smoke machines, man. I don't know what's in
there. Did I say Tim Tendo?
It sounded like you said Tim Tendo.
Nintendo. Dance of Death, Duloc, and Faye on Switch. Farming Life on Switch. NOS, new operating system on Switch.
Hell yeah.
Recall on Xbox, Switch, and PC. Wonderland Knights, White Rabbit's Diary on everything. And then Squiggle Drop is on Apple Arcade.
Hell yeah.
On new dates for you, Sweet Transit launches a brand new update, Forging Forward, on February 8th on Steam.
Steam.
And then, what's your reader mail?
All right. You're my Hollywood homie, right? Like, I trust you when it comes to entertainment critique, knowing what's up, knowing the ins and outs of what's going on in the entertainment industry. Casting.
Yes.
All right. I want you to cast two characters.
Uh-oh.
I want you to cast the villain for Far Cry 7. And I also want you to cast the character that plays Abby in Season 2 of The Last of Us.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot with this. I'm going to say...
Little Jacob chat says, Tim's casting couch.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, Far Cry 7. Well, shit. Salty Surprise says Michael Cera, which legit could be interesting.
I have an answer that could be for fun. Both. I have an answer for both.
Bear hit me. Oh, interesting.
So
Bear says Florence Pugh, and I love Florence Pugh.
I want to see Florence Pugh play a villain in a video game. That would be fun.
Oh, wait, for,
Far, for
Cry. Far
Cry.
Well, I said I have an answer for both.
Oh, so the same answer for both. I thought you were going to give us two answers. Oh, interesting. I would love Florence Pugh as the villain for Far Cry 7, for sure. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I think that's, I'm not going to get better than that for Far Cry.
Yeah.
That's real good.
That's really good, actually.
For Abby, one fan casting I've seen people do that I'm really into is Peyton List, who is Tori from Cobra Kai. And... She'd be fucking great at it. But I think age would be wrong on this. Hear me out, though, Bless. Hear me out.
Oh, I'm hearing.
What if I said the words Keke Palmer?
You're crazy. Age is really wrong for that.
Yeah.
I feel like they
could figure it out, you know?
Like, Keke Palmer. I love Keke Palmer. And Keke Palmer, I think, does have, like, the physique, right? Like, I could see her nailing that role.
Yeah.
But I do feel like her playing opposite... of Bella Ramsey's Ellie, I feel like it's a bit of a mismatch. Maybe they could play it off on camera. Maybe they could figure that out. But I'm not sold by it.
Yeah, and I get that the age is kind of a thing, but I also semi expect them to change Abby's age to be higher anyways.
Be higher.
Yeah.
Why so?
Not too higher, but I don't know. I just get.
Does I forget how?
I
how
feel
old
it
is,
in my tum tum.
How old is Ellie in Last of Part 2?
She is 19, and I think it's Abby's supposed to be only a couple years older than her. Like,
yeah,
because
I got
2 years older.
Early 20s vibes. Here's the thing. I'll throw out one. I don't know why I'm throwing this one out. I think it's because my brain does the thing when it comes to castings where it finds the most random person that would be hilarious in the role and fills them in. And like, not that this person would be hilarious, but for some reason, my mind won't take me off of Sabrina Carpenter.
I see why
you're thinking it.
Like, maybe it's just the age.
I think it's like she. It's. I think it's the face.
The face.
But that would be horrible.
I know. It would be. I know it would be. I just love her song Nonsense so much. It's such a good song. Everybody, go stream Nonsense on Spotify.
Yeah, man.
Someone threw out Chloe Grace Moretz, but that like 7 years ago, maybe.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
She's a little too old now.
I mean, I'm gonna be. Surprised if it's a white woman.
Really?
I mean, yeah, even just like look at the choices Last of Us HBO's made.
My thing is, I don't know younger Hollywood like that. And I'm sure, of course, they could... It doesn't matter, right? Like, you are acting anyway, so maybe they find somebody in their later 20s or whatever. But I don't expect for it to be a known actor that's, like, in their 30s or in their upper 20s, right? I would think that it's either somebody who maybe we don't know that well that is younger, or somebody who's
similar
known,
to Bella Ramsey,
like,
right? Like, yeah. We only really knew her from Game of Thrones, right?
Somebody in chat says John Cena. Somebody else.
See, the thing though, and, like, without getting into too many details here, it's, like, because, like, Bella Ramsey in HBO's Last of Us, like, she's 14, but then we get the age up in two, and, like, we sit with Abby in that era most, right? So I think that that's the most important part to get right, and then you can de-age a little easier that way.
Give me Zendaya.
I mean...
Give me Zendaya. Make Zendaya do some push-ups.
Okay, wait, that is the biggest problem with that, for sure. Like, that's a no. That is a no.
This is a pretty difficult casting to make.
It is, but... I mean, here's my thing. I think they're going to nail it. I think whoever they announce, I'm going to be like, oh, that's fucking good.
Yeah. Somebody says get Zendaya for... Actually, no. They said who do they get for Dina. And I, in my mind, I'm like, actually, no. I would love a Dina played by Zendaya. I just want Zendaya to play everybody.
I feel that.
Yeah.
I get that. Let us know in the comments below who you want to play Abby and who you want to be the bad guy in Far Cry 7. And bonus points if you're like Barrett and have one choice for both.
That's the challenge today.
That's the challenge, everybody.
Oh man, I was going for the yawn into the arm. Michael Cera.
Next week we have Greg and me hosting on Monday. Greg and Bless on Tuesday. Bless and Greg on Wednesday. Bless and me on Thursday. And me and Bless on Friday. Also remember, every Monday we react live at 9 a.m. on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to The Last of Us. We have episode 3 this Sunday. By all accounts, this is going to be one of the greatest episodes in television history, Bless. That's what everyone says.
The hype is too high for this one.
That, the hype is
if there's anything less than a 10
it's
out of 10.
It's crazy that people who have seen the full season are saying this about episode 3 and not the last episode.
I'm excited.
People are saying Macy Williams in chat. Somebody said Macy Williams.
Why can't I think of...
Just get the whole Game of Thrones. Get the whole Game of Thrones cast in there.
Really quick, did we do You're Wrong?
No, we're doing it right now.
Okay.
You can remember kindoffunny.com. Yeah, you fucking know.
You'd fucking know.
I
learned what a troglodyte was yesterday. I know it's random, but I had to share this with you because, like, I was like, you know, we call the people in chat trogs, or at least like on the Patreon chat trogs, and then I was like, what's that short for? And then my mind was like, oh, that's probably short for troglodyte, and I was like, can we call people that? Is that okay?
And I thought it was short for trog doors, like from Homestar.
Oh, from Homestar Runner. Okay, yeah. I see what you're doing there.
All right, Nano has two interesting You're Wrongs here. One, Bless said Ubisoft needs an EA Originals. They already have one, UB Arts, which Ubisoft has abandoned.
Yeah, I was going to say, they don't have that anymore.
Let's go. And then Nano also says that, according to Neil Druckmann, Abby is 20 years old. So yeah, 20 is that nebulous age that I think is easier to pull off if you look a bit older, but yeah. Anyways, that's all we got wrong because we're fucking badasses, Bless.
You're fucking badasses.
Me and you and I.
It's fucking
We're going to keep hanging out. We're actually going to do a fun little set change here, get the couches out, and then we're going to play some GoldenEye 64.
Let's get this shit.
Fantastic. Hang out with us. Stay on Twitch. Go to the different video on YouTube. Just have a great weekend, man. Watch the Royal Rumble. Oh, you know what?
What up? Hit me, Tim.
The Royal Rumble's tomorrow, which I think means tonight is episode 1 of season 2 of Greg's WWE show. This is awesome.
He's already tweeted about it, so it might already be up.
It might already be up. If you have Peacock, go support, show some love to Greg Miller. We shot it here in the spare bedroom, which is pretty fucking cool.
Really cool. And remember, if you get Peacock, you can keep your subscription. That way, when Twisted Metal comes to Peacock later on,
you'll be ready.
You'll be ready.
You'll be ready. Anyways,
I can't wait for the set. I can't wait for the Twisted Metal set that we're going to have here.
Oh my God, we're going to fucking kill it, Bless.
We're going to be in the wasteland.
MS Gamma says Royal Rumble tomorrow or Sunday. The Rumble's on Saturday. The WWE's changed its pay per views to be Saturday.
Oh, I didn't know that.
For WrestleMania, which is 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. I'm so fucking stoked for the Rumble, Bless. You don't understand.
I don't.
You don't understand, Bless.
I saw a video. It was a TikTok that was talking about 2009 Randy Orton. And like that was back when I watched the WWE. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, it won't get any better than 2009 Randy Orton.
What if I told you it does? Anyways,
it does not. In no way. He was kicking people's heads off.
Bye.